Tonight, our 10-minute speaker is Glenn F. from San Diego.
Yeah.
Good evening. First of all, I want to thank Larry, wherever he's at. Thanks, Larry. It was kind of strange how he contacted me. I didn't know who he was, and the text came through. You know, do you want to speak? So that's kind of how it went. It got better from there. Thanks, Larry. I should start off. I'm Glenn, and I'm an alcoholic. My sobriety date is February 4th, 2003. My home group is Solana Beach Men's, and I've got a sponsor, and I sponsor guys. In 10 minutes, I got to tell you real quick, there's some things that I've done that I'm not real proud of. You're not going to get much of that in 10 minutes. But I will tell you that for me, 3 DUIs later in the 80s, I quit blowing in their little thing so I wouldn't get another one. Okay, I knew when I got pulled over that I was going to go to jail. That's just knew how it was. And I wouldn't get another DUI if I didn't let them take my blood or blow in their little thing. But I knew where my truck would be. And I knew how much it cost to get it out. And I knew I'd get out the next day. They'd say, well, you know you're going to get your license taken away. I hadn't had a license for a long time. I know. Thank God in the 80s the computers weren't what they are today. Because I had a couple of them in 30 days one time. And I thought I'd get, you know, I manipulated everything my whole life. Okay. Until I got to the steps. But thank God. I got to him, and when I got in the courtroom, you know, the judge charged me with just like the second one, like I didn't get the other one. So I thought, yeah, that's cool. I got away with it. Yeah, well, you didn't get away with anything with DMV. And it took me a long time to get my license back. So things really didn't get much better from there. My first AA meeting was in the felony tank in San Diego. I was in there for quite a few months for a drug bust. And I had heard if you didn't do a violent crime and you went to some meetings, you might end up in an honor camp. And when they locked the door behind you for quite a while, for me, it gave me time to get sober enough to look at myself and say, man, you got a problem. And when I went to the meetings, I really didn't go to the meetings to figure out how to get sober. I was trying to figure out how to get out of jail. That's all. Didn't hear a word. Didn't matter. I was there. I was trying to get to a honor camp where I could get out from behind those gray bars. And 2 meetings later, they woke me up at 3 a.m., said, come with me. And off to West Fork I went. And that was a blessing because I tell you what, the felony tank was really no fun at all. And I spent quite a while in jail. When I got out, I stayed sober for the judge for a couple years. And got my probation, got that done way ahead of schedule. And I thought, you know, as soon as I kind of quit going down to that office and peeing in that cup, I'm going to try this again. I think I'm really a drug addict, not an alcoholic. That didn't last long. So I tried it again, about a year. The only good news with that is I didn't have to go back to jail, but I got really ugly again. And February 4th of 1990, I quit drinking again. I met a gentleman that was my sponsor from way back in the 80s. He went to lunch. And I have to tell you, he was more of a counselor than a sponsor because I wasn't doing the steps. I was using meetings. I was taking what I needed from you guys. I wasn't giving anything. I'd show up late, leave early. Hopefully I'd hear something that made me feel better. I didn't really know how to do this, but I was staying dry. And I got dry, and I got dry, and I got drier. And I abused everything. I just didn't drink, and I didn't do drugs. So I figure if you don't drink and you don't do drugs, you should be okay. I was successful, so I should be okay. and I wasn't. I didn't change anything except the drinking and drugging. And I got to tell you that every wacky thing that I do got worse and worse. You know, if it was women, if it was work, if it was clothes, if it was toys, I tried everything, every kind of non-drug to fix me, and it wouldn't work. So eventually I relapsed again, and that was in 2003. And I had to. I'm going to tell you, I was to a point in my life that I was freaking nuts, crazy, and I had to. I had just assumed if I'm not doing drugs and I'm not drinking, that I should have been okay, and I'm not, so I just kind of figured I'm crazy. It's the only thing I could figure out. So I went to 90 meetings in 90 days at the Belly Up in Solana Beach. And I hung around the rooms a lot more. I didn't say I got a sponsor. I didn't say I worked the steps. I said I went to 90 meetings in 90 days. I was still trying to do it my way, okay? Because my way. Eventually I did get a sponsor, and I worked the steps. And I have to tell you that things changed for me that I didn't really want, but I needed. It was the first thing in my life that I had finished, which is kind of weird because I'd manipulated, at 47 years of age, I'd manipulated everything through, you know, cheated in school. It didn't matter what it was. I trick-fucked my way through it. Period. That's the way I did it. And when I finished those steps, I was to a point in my life that it was completely different, and things changed on me that I could sleep and I could read. I didn't know that you didn't have to read things three times. I thought you had to read everything three times. I thought I was just kind of special. So one last story I want to tell you just because it relates to the steps, and I think it's important because family's important to me. And I've got my family back, and I'm a grandpa now, and that's so cool. But after I had done the steps and I'd made my amends and things changed for me, one of the things that I run a company and I'm busy, and Mom would call and she'd want to tell me how much salt she put in the roast. And, you know, Mom, I'm too busy. I'll call you back. And boom, you know. And I would forget to call her back. And the guilt and shame started piling up. So eventually I told Mom that every Tuesday night we'll do dinner. Okay? And I says, because that way at least I'll get my time in with Mom. And I got to do that. Mom's a widow. She's lonely. I need to try to take care of my mom, you know. Come on, what's more important than Mom? So, first Tuesday night, I show up at Mom's house. You know, I called her that morning. What are we going to do for dinner, Mom? She says, I'm going to make dinner. I said, oh, good. You know, nothing better than Mom's home cooking. So I show up, and then my kids are there, and there's other people there, and there's about 8 or 10 people, and I'm thinking, this is supposed to be my night with Mom. So I said, shut up, and I ate dinner and said hi and had a good time. So next Tuesday comes around, and I call Mom. Mom, what are we going to do for dinner? She says, I haven't had Chinese food forever. I said, well, let's go to Chin's. She says, okay. So Mom comes down to work. We head over to Chin's, and there's 8 or 10 people. And I'm thinking, this is my night with Mom. Now, not only did it cost me about $250, okay, but I didn't get my night with Mom. All right? So I call my sponsor the next day. I says, John, I says, I go to dinner, and all these people show up. I didn't get my night with Mom, and it cost me $250. He says, how'd Mom like it? I don't need to say much more. We still have Tuesday night dinner. That's been about 7 years now. And I'm going to tell you, it's the best thing that ever happened to my family. Okay, this program has taught me everything that I do. And that's kind of sad because at 40-some years of age, with success, I really didn't know how to live. It taught me how to treat people. I was scared to death to do what I'm doing now. I would have never done this. Never. Everything I've learned about being a man, I was taught in these rooms. And I thank AA and thank you guys. Good night.